It is Locked On Jazz for the 17th of December. Hey, Christmas is like 8 days away. Hope you're doing great. We'll look at the Jazz versus the Magic, the upcoming stretch for the Jazz, some areas where they've got to tighten things up, and it's a Time Machine Tuesday. It's going to be a fun one. It's Locked On Jazz. Bum, 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 bum. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it a lot more fun to be a Jazz fan. I mentioned this yesterday. I wanted to mention it again today. There's a company called Breaking Tee. They do really fun t-shirts. So breakingtee.com/lockedon. If you go to the very bottom, Joe Ingles shirt and sweatshirt headband, kind of a fun Christmas gift. We don't get a kickback on this. We just do some partnerships with them. That's why we have the site. But I just think it's a fun gift. So the Joe Ingles headband, hoodie, and t-shirt are still available. If you're an Angels or Dodgers fan, they actually have some other really fun stuff. Yankee fan, they have some cool stuff out there. So in fact, they have Trout and Rendon in 2020, which seems like a good idea. All right. So hope everyone's doing good. I'm really excited for tonight. I'm really excited for the next stretch of games because I don't know if we're any good. I know what's wrong with us. I know what's right with us, and I can't figure out whether or not it's just that's who we are. It's the what's wrong with us is fixable. I keep seeing everyone trying to make the claim that it's one person, maybe. Hope so. On the, you know, the bench, Ben Dowsett made the claim it was Ed Davis yesterday. I've had people make the claim it's Jeff Green. Playing with the numbers can be really funny. You know, if you try to look at, you know, so if you buy that it's Ed Davis, well, that's the easiest of the group. You just decide that you're gonna put Tony Bradley on the floor and put Ed Davis off the floor. It's, you know, a little bit of a locker room leader there, and Ed Davis, pretty vital piece. So you better, you know, the thing on these things is you better be right. You can't be wrong. And if you're wrong on one of these moves, then you're in trouble. And you end up with a lot of difficulties. If Jeff Green is the issue, I don't know what you're doing. And again, you better be right. So, we'll see. I mean, I think so far this year, when Tony Bradley's on the floor, we're -3.3, our offensive ratings, and 99. You know, our offensive rating with Donovan and Tony Bradley's on the floor is a 99. Our offensive rating with Tony Bradley and Jeff Green's a 98. With Joe Ingles is a 100.4. With Mike Conley's a 95.5. That doesn't seem to me, as though Royce O'Neal, 97.4, that doesn't seem to me that it's really answering the problem. That's not an indicator of an obvious move right there. With Emmanuel Mudiay, it's a 101. So, I don't... Now, Ed Davis compared to Rudy Gobert, that's fine. We can't play Rudy Gobert 48 minutes a night. So that's pretty faulty look at things. It's Ed Davis versus Tony Bradley if you're trying to fix that problem. But here's why I'm excited for this. Because if you actually look at where we are in the season right now and the road to 55 wins, we're actually only one off the pace. We're clearly not a 55-win team. Like, we are clearly not a 55-win team in any way, shape, or form. But we're only one off the pace. Meaning that with all this struggle and everything we've been through, we have not lost anything yet. Or at least lost anything significant. So, if that's the case, we haven't lost anything significant, we have an opportunity to hit our stride, straighten some things out, and get rolling. And I feel like we've had enough embarrassing moments that it's time for us, if it's a purely engagement effort, team camaraderie, togetherness, connectivity thing that everyone's been talking about, then it's time for that to go away. If it's we're not very good in certain portions, then that's going to be exposed. There'll be no mystery here. Like, Orlando tonight's a fascinating game to me. We're 15-11. They're 12-14. We're not dramatically better than them. We should beat them, but we can't beat them the way we beat the Warriors. Like, no matter what we do, we're going to win. We're the 12th ranked differential team. They're the 17th. We're the 20th ranked offensive team. They're the 24th. They're the 12th ranked defensive team. We're the 11th. They're not very good in half court. They're pretty good in transition. We shoot the out of it. They don't. So we're not similar. We're just about the same. Now, Vegas has us as a 10-point favorite, and the consensus has us as a 12-point favorite, which, wow. The other thing about Orlando, Vukovic has been out about 10 games, so I don't think you know who they are, is what they've done recently, which is their losses are against the best teams in the NBA, and their wins are against who they should beat. They're like a barometer. I used to talk about BYU being barometer university. But if you look at them, they beat the Pelicans. They lost three in a row before that. Right. Rockets, Lakers, Bucks. Harden had 52. They beat Cleveland. They beat Phoenix. They beat Washington. They beat Golden State. They lost to the Raptors. They beat Cleveland. They lost to Detroit, which, okay, that's not great, but it was in Detroit. They lost to Indiana and Toronto. They beat Washington, San Antonio. Like, since November 15th, for a month, they've won every game they should have won, and they've lost every game they should have lost. Now, on the November 13th, they spice things up, and they beat the 76ers for their really one singular outlier of the year. They have one game all year where they should have won that they lost at Atlanta the second game of the year. And they have one game all year that they won that they should have lost, which is the Philadelphia 76ers. Otherwise, depending what you think of their game at home against San Antonio, which went 111-109, they've just absolutely done what they were supposed to do, which makes them interesting because it means we should beat them. But they're good enough to beat us. And if we don't play transition defense, which we've utterly stopped doing, against the fifth best transition team in the league, we'll get killed. And we'll be down 20 again. And if our bench can't beat the Santa Cruz Warriors, then guess what? We might have a problem. Their bench is not good, though. I mean, this is another one where their bench is not very good. DJ Augustine's solid now coming off the bench, and Terrence Ross can really score it, but it's not great. They're on-off numbers. They're got when Nikola's on the floor, when Fournier's on the floor, when Fultz is on the floor, they're positive. When Jonathan Isaac's on the floor. When Al Farouk, who's injured, is on the floor, they're -7. When Kem Birch is on the floor, he might play backup center, might not play, -14. When Terrence Ross is on the floor, they're -6. When Aaron Gordon's on the floor with a bench, they're -4. Like, that's it. They have the same problem. When they go to their bench, they can't score. So, their second unit run by Terrence Ross doesn't score. Ours doesn't either. Ours is stunning. So, I think this is a really interesting game. Followed by Atlanta and Charlotte. Really interesting games. Followed by, if we get rolling and we win at Miami, I mean, if we go win these next three, gosh, only knows how I can start projecting like that. We've won 6 of 7. We go into Miami. I don't know that we can handle Miami because we haven't handled a good defensive team yet, but there's a good test. Come home and play Portland. Then we go to LA. Okay, there's a good test again. Play the Clippers. But then we're home for Chicago, Orlando, New Orleans, New York, Charlotte, Washington. Like, we should run a load off right now if we're any good. And if we don't, there's no hiding. If we don't go on quite a run right now, there's no hiding. And if we're going to go on a run, we're only going to do it because we fix our transition defense. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homie. I got a tweet last night in my mentions from someone saying, hey, I'm thinking about buying a house with homie. I appreciate so much that you're willing to use Locked On sponsors. Such a, I appreciate it immensely. I think you know you can sell a home with homie. You save a bunch of money. You can also buy a home with homie. Here's why. Because when you buy a house, the money you pay for your home, say you buy a $200,000 house, the money goes to the seller for the house, goes to their agent, goes to whatever agent you choose to hire. Everyone's getting paid out of your money, right? It's not out of the it's out of the buyer. So what Homie is doing is taking you through the same process with Dream Home, Tour Homes, make offers, negotiate the best deal, and then working to get you $5,000 back on the end. I don't know if that works on a $200,000 house, how the money works on it exactly, but Homie is returning $5,000 to you. That blimp flies around Vivint Smart Home Arena with a Homie blimp dropping money for a reason, because that's what Homie's been doing for Utah, is saving people money, saving thousands of dollars, giving you money you can put into your house or equity or whatever it might be, because Homie's got your back. Text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. An experienced local Homie agent will help you every step of the way, because Homie's got your back. I mentioned transition defense a moment ago. That's what we have to straighten out. If we don't straighten out transition defense, forget about it. I mean, absolutely forget it. By the way, the original Casper mattress combined multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 towards any mattress visiting casper.com/lockednba. At checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, we have lockedonpodcast.com/offers for you. Lockedonpodcast.com/offers. All right, transition defense. Earlier this year, we were like the best transition team in league. There's a bunch of different ways people look at transition defense. Let's take a bunch of them. Okay? Synergy just looks at transition defense as purely transition. And if you look at us as a team now, defensively, they don't have a lot of filters on it. We're now, having been the number two team in the league in transition defense, we are now 13th. The telling number is we used to allow 13% of our possessions as transition. We're now up to allowing 15% of our possessions in transition. Okay, let's dig in even deeper to that, because that to me is the first sign of real problem. And it's hard to figure out, like, what is it we're really looking at when we're looking at transition? So if you look at our numbers off live ball turnovers, we're fine. That doesn't seem to be a big problem. That's the first place I would have looked. I would have said, oh, we must be terrible off all these turnovers we're committing. According to Inpredictable, after turnovers, our defense ranks 10th in the NBA. After a defensive rebound, we rank 5th in the NBA. After a made shot, we rank 13th. If we rank 5th after a defensive rebound and 10th after a turnover, what we must be able to do defensively if we actually keep you in the half court is stunning. Those numbers tell a different story than what you'd anticipate. Houston allows the most at 21 a game. We allow 17 a game, right in the middle of the pack. Frequency 14.9, 1.07 points per possession. Okay? Where these numbers would really speak out to you would be if we started to look at them by game. Because that's where this gets stunning, is that we have just suddenly started allowing fast break points at an alarming rate. And it really seems to tie in with Rudy's absence and then return. And why is just not clear at all. But our problem so far is how we're allowing teams to score us. If we keep people in the half court and let the defense work, it's better. Now, the only other area where we're slipping is, interestingly enough, is the pick and roll man. Pick and roll man, which is the guy who sets the pick and rolls the basket, something we usually eliminate pretty well, and we have not been doing that. I'm not entirely sure why. Now, again, these numbers are subtle enough that they can skew just based on short periods of time. Again, it could be just the bench unit, but it doesn't feel like it. And so we've got to figure out why defensively we're suddenly not getting back defensively in transition, hustling, whether it is just hustling back, Quinn's like, it's just as simple as getting back. Seems kind of crazy, but it's true. It's actually kind of almost glaring when you look at it. Right now, we're allowing the 11th best pick and roll or transition defense last year. We've never been great at it, but last year we just didn't allow as many. We're 18th in the league in frequency. And now last year we were 7th in frequency, the year before that 11th, the year before that 4th, the year before that 7th. Now, one thing I worried about when the year started was that the new foul campaign, where they weren't going to let you commit the breakaway foul the same way, was going to have an impact, but I haven't seen that at all. Let me wrap this up by looking at it by month. Okay? So if we look at just October, how we started the year. In October, we were 28th in the league, allowing 12.6 transition opportunities a game. And we allowed 0.88 points per transition, which was by far the best in the league. Well, actually, it was the 4th best in the league. Okay, that's October. So you want to write that down? You want me to write that down? Let's have the host of the show write this one down for you. Okay? The bigger numbers, what were we allowing? You know, sometimes, whether someone executes 12.6 points per game and 12.6 chances per game in transition in October. And in November, it started to slip a little. We are now in the middle of the pack, allowing 16.6 transition opportunities a game. And now we are allowing 1.07 points per transition, 12th worst in the NBA. Right in the middle of the pack. I'm taking arbitrary first of the month. I mean, I probably could dig in and find a different day, but let's just go with this. So now in half a month, we're now allowing 18.7 transition opportunities a game. There it is. There's everything you need to know about our defense. Now, I would love to break this down even more detailed into who's on the floor and when is it happening and per 100 possessions and all of that. That's the next step on this. And maybe I'll do it if we have another terrible transition defensive day. And it would seem like the right thing to do at that point in time. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Oh my gosh, there's great things going on at Murdoch Hyundai. 4646 South State Street. Located in Logan, Linden, and at the 4646 South State Street. The Palisade is so cool. And I am going to get what? No, I don't know what I'm going to get. I'm about to get a new car from Hyundai. I'm pretty excited. Am I going to get the Palisade, which starts at about $31,550, is the 8-seater. Absolutely getting rave reviews. Unbelievable love. A home run, said car gurus. A winning formula, said cars.com. Best cars to buy, 2020 nominee by Car Connection. I mean, it is killing the reviews right now. The Hyundai Palisade, the Santa Fe, the Tucson, the Kona. I love the Kona. The Kona is the If I did not have children and did not need multiple, little more space, the small utility vehicle, the Kona is super fun. Starts at $20,000. And it could be interesting. Hyundai actually has a Kona electric car I was reading about the other day, which took top product of the year. Hyundai, again, continuing with the incredible innovation out there. Hyundai Kona electric car tops list of 2019's 10 best products, according to iNews. So we'll see. It's all out there. It's at Hyundai. Their innovation is amazing. Check it out. Make sure you see what they're doing for you. And if you're going to stop by Hyundai, either see the Sonata or the Elantra as well. Make sure you email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com so that we can give you that expert, awesome treatment. I had something else I was going to tell you today before I got into Time Machine Tuesday, and now I can't remember what it was. I keep pretty good notes. Oh, I wanted to thank everybody who did the Spotify thing. So if you're a Spotify listener and you got something called Spotify Wrapped, which showed your top podcast and Lockdown was on it, I appreciate those. Take a screenshot, tag us at Lockdown Live or Lockdown Sports, and it will share and retweet it. It was really cool. I appreciate everybody who did that. If you get a chance to do it again, that'd be great. So if you haven't done it already, please do. All right, let's do Time Machine Tuesday. Time Machine Tuesday. I actually legitimately have in front of me, I don't know if you can hear it, like a box, and it has in every number since 1979. It actually starts at 80, and I just go in it and I pull out a number, and this year we got 18. Time Machine didn't go back very far. So 17, 18, Time Machine. Let's see what this might be really interesting. Maybe we'll find out we're going through all the exact same stuff. Time Machine Tuesday. We go back a grand total of 2 years to the 17-18 season. I'm doing it with you live. I don't prep this one. This is the Quinn Snyder 48. We beat lose to the Houston Rockets in the second round of the playoffs. So this is Donovan. This is the Donovan burst year. What's going on December 17th? December 16th, we played the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road, and we lost 109-100. We had beat Boston the night before, 109-105. And then the 16th, we go to Cleveland, and we lose. This actually is interesting. So this is LeBron is still on Cleveland. LeBron scores 29 points, has 11 points, 10 rebounds. Jay Crowder had 9 for Cleveland. Kyle Korver had 12 for Cleveland. Jeff Green had 11 for Cleveland. We got waxed. No, we didn't. Down one at halftime. One at the end of one. 3 at the half. 7 at the third. We played pretty well. Slow game. Donovan had 26 on 11 of 16 shooting. Tabo Cephalosha was our second leading scorer. Royce O'Neal had 12 off the bench. Rodney Hood had 11. We didn't get a lot of help for Donovan that night. We shot 17 of 34 from 3, though. And we went to 14 and 16 on the season. This is in the midst of a stretch where we would end up losing 7 of 8 and 10 of 12 and 13 of 16. I forget things like this. We lost 13 of 16 from December 4th to January 7th, 2 years ago. I don't remember that at all. I don't remember games, though. The original purpose of Empty the Noggin was because I forgot games. And so I wrote it out for you. Empty the Noggin's on hiatus right now. We went to Houston. We were in the midst of a long trip. We went Milwaukee, Chicago, with like 4 days off in Chicago, to Boston, to Cleveland, to Houston, to Oklahoma City. We lost to Houston by 21. Joe Johnson and Epe Udoh were starting for us? Holy smokes. We had like no players. You guys all remember this. I don't. It's funny. I call it. I don't remember. Our starting lineup in Cleveland that night was Ricky Rubio, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Joe Johnson, and Epe Udoh. Rudy Gobert was injured. Derek Favors was not available. No wonder we lost a million games in a row. All right. That is Time Machine Tuesday. 2 years ago, we were in the doldrums in a way that we are not right now. It's good to see. All right, that was interesting, even though we only went 2 years back. Have a great one. Thanks very much for tuning in. BreakingT.com/LockedOn. Casper, LockedOnPodcast.com/offers. Let's see. It's a Tuesday. Tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast, Rejecting the Screen. Also, did you know you can listen to Locked On Jazz on your Apple Watch? Kind of cool. Have a good one. See ya.